We often think of autism as a disorder diagnosed in children and teenagers, but Lauren Ober learned she was autistic when she was 42. If you're a public radio or podcast listener, you may be familiar with Ober's voice. She has hosted shows including Spectacular Failures and The Big Listen. When Ober was diagnosed, she started a podcast called The Loudest Girl in the World. We wanted to know more about it and about her journey as well. Welcome, Lauren.
Thanks, Lisa.
Your podcast begins with your childhood, and this is long before you received your diagnosis of autism. You were a kid who loved to talk a lot. Let's give that a listen first.
My love affair with talking began early. My beleaguered mother, Kathy, can't quite remember when I started using words, but she knows it was way too soon. She would have preferred a few more months of baby babble bliss. Just a little bit more calm before the relentless torrent of words made landfall on her shores. But, tough toenails for her, it didn't happen like that. And once I started talking, I just didn't stop.
You just didn't stop, and that included in school, because it got you in trouble that you were talking so much. And there's one teacher who even put this giant cardboard box around your desk in order to separate you from the rest of the kids. It sounds kind of funny. In other ways, it sounds really sad. And I wonder what that was like, Lauren.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, it really cemented in my mind that I was bad or that I was wrong or I was not doing what the other kids were doing. I mean, I talked a lot, but there was a reason for it, and I don't think anyone was curious about the reason. They just wanted to punish as a way to stop me, but obviously it didn't work. And you know, but it was very hard as a child, sort of being othered in that way for something that you can't really control.
Right. And othered in such a visible way that stands out in your mind and maybe even some of the kids around you. So you talk about the fact that despite knowing from an early age that you were different, such as in that classroom, you didn't really think you were autistic. But what did you know about autism? Did it even enter your mind?
I mean, not at that early age. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. No one was talking about autism then. And I think that it wasn't until I was older and, you know, I mean, you see references, television, movies, you know, it's in the ether. Autism is in the ether. But I think it wasn't until, you know, I met my partner who has a teenage, now going on 20-year-old autistic child and, you know, spending time with them and feeling like, okay, I see some similarities here and, you know, talking to my therapist about it. But yeah, it really wasn't until the pandemic that it kind of, you know, rained down on me as a real possibility.
So you decided to finally seek a diagnosis, which was not easy. Let's listen again to the podcast.
When you're an adult looking for any sort of diagnosis for a neurodivergent condition, be it autism, ADHD, sensory processing issues, whatever, good luck to you.
So what were the obstacles? I mean, what difference did it make that you were a woman and you were, say, beyond the age of 20? I mean, you were 42, I think, when you were diagnosed.
Right. Well, so a lot of autism evaluations occur in childhood through the schools. You know, kids get sort of caught early. But also, people's framework or sort of professionals' framework for autism really comes from the research that's been done on men and boys. And so for a lot of people who are not men and boys, autism looks different. Women and girls and people who are not men often do what's called masking, which is basically camouflaging your autistic traits to blend in, to sort of seamlessly fit in with your peers or your workplace or wherever you are. It's sort of like extreme womanhood, you know? There are all these pressures to be a particular way when you are a woman or a girl, and, you know, you overlay autism on top of that, and it's just this extreme feeling of needing to fit in and hide who you are. But that takes an enormous amount of energy for autistic people to do that, to hide in plain sight.
So wait a minute. So how do you do that?
You know, I know how you are supposed to be, but it might not feel comfortable for me to say, make sustained eye contact or get a lot of hugs from strangers. But I'll do it because I know that that is what is socially acceptable or needed in that moment. But the emotional toll of doing those things is quite great if it's sustained, if you have to, you know, constantly be making pleasantries when that doesn't feel natural or normal and it is exhausting.
So physically exhausting, emotionally exhausting,
yes.
Or how does it
both
work?
It can be both. I mean, you know, depending on an autistic person's sensitivities, a subway ride could feel extreme pain from the sound, from the stimulation, from the sensory overload of it. And so I think that's a huge misunderstanding of what autism is that it's actually, you're sort of walking through the world with the first layer of your skin removed. There's this misunderstanding that autistic people have no empathy, but actually it's an abundance of empathy, and so much so that it often can shut people down because they're feeling so much.
And that's where an autistic meltdown comes in. Talk
yes.
about that kind of raw emotion that expressed itself.
For me, a meltdown looks like extreme crying, heaving, sobbing. I mean, Hannah, my girlfriend, she said it sounds like my brain is breaking. Now, obviously, I don't want to give people the impression that, you know, autistic people are just collapsing all over the place or having emotional breakdowns all over the place. But meltdowns and shutdowns are one important piece of autistic people's reality.
As personal as your podcast is, obviously the journey itself is very personal, but this can be also a funny story and sometimes raw story as well. What's it been like to put it together?
It's terrible. I would never do it again. No, I mean, I don't know how anyone writes more than one memoir. It seems like a terrible exercise. It's very hard to mine your own story, for what is, you know, functionally entertainment. I mean, you could say it's informative, and that it is. It's helped a lot of people. The response has been amazing. And I think, you know, that makes it all worth it, that there are so many, you know, women and girls and young people who have experienced exactly what I've experienced and who said, you know, I felt totally alone until I heard your show, or I've never felt seen.
You're doing the podcast in part, I guess, for people who have autism. But for those who don't, what do you want everybody else to know about?
I mean, I think that there's a gross misunderstanding about what autism is. I mean, our media representations are pretty minimal. And, we're still talking about Rain Man. And that movie came out, you know, 30 plus years ago. And so I think that I wanted to tell one autistic person's story and tell it in an authentic first person way, so that anyone listening can't say that they've never heard about an autistic experience before. Now, my experience is very different as a sort of hyperverbal person than an autistic person who is non-speaking. And that person's story deserves to be told also. But I can convey what I know of my autistic brain and how it works, and hope that people listening, regardless of their neurology, can find some kinship in a story about a person trying to figure out who they are and accepting themselves for who they ultimately land on.
Lauren Ober is podcast host and producer. Her new show, The Loudest Girl in the World, is about her later in life autism diagnosis, and it's available now. We will link to it at hereandnow.org. A pleasure to talk to you, Lauren.
Yes, pleasure is mine. Thanks, Lisa.